Welcome to Creative Disturbance.
Rencontre avec.
Rencontre avec.
Meeting.
Meeting.
My name is Gina Chilansky.
John Hunt.
This May 2016, you're presenting the work, the artwork, or art science work, Heirloom. As part of a Trust Me, I'm an Artist and the Body Collected exhibition at the Medical Museum here in Copenhagen. First of all, I think maybe it's important to describe what the work is and how it looks like.
Well, the work's a kind of process, a living process or a living experiment to try and recreate three-dimensional architecture of my daughter's faces by using the growth of cells from their own buccal swabs, creating an extracellular matrix. So 3D living portraits, really, of my daughters. And what it consists of is a kind of very ancient technique of face casting in plaster and glass and gel and silicon, and fragments of erroneous casts that have been made through the flint exploding, and kind of mimicking some of the exhibition here at the Medical Museum of deformed fetuses. Well, these are kind of deformed glass casts, but the main pivotal part, the central part of the exhibition, is the living skin growth, two little bioreactors, each with a glass cast in one of each of my daughters, fed with media and cells to keep, well, to kind of imitate inside the body, to keep the cells alive and to nourish and grow them. And once they're grown through that cycle, we fix them and save them onto replica glass casts and light them up. It's looking also at the possibility of 3D scanning now and 3D printing, which can actually speed up and make cost effective that process of scanning and banking people's physical likeness in a scientifically accurate way and keeping that as data to point to a potential future whereby 3D scanning is available on smartphones and cells are printed in 3D that can reconstruct parts of your face and replant that should you need it or want it.
It's raising really a lot of questions and emotions and speculation about what the future could be, both in terms of art, science and society, so to speak. So the first one is this idea of regenerative medicine that could be personalized, and with this idea of eternal youth, and this idea that in the future you could get back the face you had when you were 20 and not only repair yourself if you have a car accident. So I would like to have your point of view, both of you.
It's about value in so many different ways, and it's about what's precious and what you nurture and look after and care for, and loss as well. So it's at a point in time where I thought it's potentially that I might not have long left to live. What have I left that's precious, which is not, you know, just my daughters there, but it's really about the value of so many different things. And it's also in terms of regenerative medicine, you know, we're in a society that maintains life at all costs, and why? We don't let people die who want to, who really, really want to, because the whole profession is to kind of maintain life. And if we take responsibility for ourselves and our health, then surely we should have a decision that, of how we want to die. I think it's about value of life and what you mean by life. It struck me last night quite hard about your comments on death masks and using my daughters, and it looked like a death mask, because I see it as very much like a life mask, given it's like second chances, second options, new potential. But I'm really, I feel very uncomfortable with a society so totally obsessed with surface and appearance and the empty, vacuous bullshit that's on television where everybody is brushed up, touched up and looks flawless, but empty. And it was trying to create so much powerful content by using the idea of surface and the questions that raises, the image, the surface.
Trust me. I'm an artist.
John, what was interesting last night during the ethical panel is you raised a lot of issues related to cell therapy. Could you tell a bit more about cell therapy, what you do, how it relates to this work, and what are the issues or what are the questions you are facing as a scientist?
Yeah, well, I think the phrase youthfulness and the pursuit that back to that, that is the ideal. My entire research life has been about implantable medical devices, which usually mean there's a bit of you that's broken, as in your hip and you can't walk, or your blood vessels and you nearly died from a heart attack. And we would put in a piece of a synthetic man-made over-engineered device to replace that, repair you and send you back. That has always been absolutely wonderful for everybody. I can walk again, and actually, you know, I don't get out of breath when I walk up the stairs anymore because I've got some new tubing around my heart. As soon as we went from these man-made materials to cell-based structures, the whole landscape has changed, whereby it's not enough to regenerate you back to where you are today. If you can do that, we might be able to go back to an earlier point in my life and take me back to that point, might we? Why don't we do that? So the whole idea that we will repair you and enable you to live independently again is suddenly not the question. We accept we're going to be able to do that, but can I choose what I get out of that? So if for example, I do sport, but if I don't compete sport-wise, there's nothing to stop me providing a cellular enhancement so that I could, you know, run faster. That's well within the scientific understanding that we have now. I could give a stem cell shot and enhance my performance. Do I want to do that? I don't want to do that, but do other people want to do that? Are other people already doing that? The whole idea that it's not regeneration for repair, it's regeneration to soup us up, in some way enhance us.
I'd like first to have Gina's reaction about this notion of informed consent and using your own children, and then asking you, John, how this work, how Heirloom helped you understand or reflected upon your own research and what you are doing and all this. Questions that you just talked about enhancing human and not just only repairing them. And
yes, I think it's absolutely an ethical issue, and that's part of the reason for doing that as well. I mean, the subject is my children, and it also points to some of the ridiculousness about ethical procedures. For example, museums close to the public because 500-year-old corpses can't sign consent, like Guy's Hospital collection. And the ethics involved with doing the Wasted Project, like collecting bones and tissue from living patients. It's like people are so scared of something that doesn't come with a barcode, they don't want to touch it. And I was told during that my work isn't considered to be research, so it doesn't need research ethics because I'm not an academic, and it didn't need medical ethics. So it's in a grey area of, like, nobody wants to give it permission. And so we ran a public debate to ask, should we be able to use human tissue in art? And the only people who objected were the Natural History Museum, who have set up on the basis of the collections of other cultures' stuff to put on display. So I'm really interested in ethics. I'm really interested in who makes decisions and who those decisions are for and designed to protect. You can't get patient consent without having the information on the table, right? I couldn't get my kids' consent, really, because they're my children, so I had to sign a consent for my kids' cells to be used in an artwork that was my artwork. And it's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? They should have consented, they consented to me 2 years ago, and now they might change their minds because they're older and they've grown up. It's a really tricky question for me, and it's, you know, problematic because it's going to be shown in Liverpool where they live. And I have a real issue with, do I just show it and say, well, it's an artwork, get over it, and make sure you don't put anything on Facebook that you regret later. Like you pointed out last night, I don't post pictures of my kids online at all. I respect their privacy. It feels removed from them because it feels removed from them, but they won't see it like that if it's exhibited in the same town. So it's still ethically a kind of a really hard question for me.
Trust me. I'm an artist.
Let's say for the discussion that you have created a cast portrait of your daughters using both the cast techniques, which creates a kind of mask, and using a scanner and 3D printing, no cells at all. You wouldn't need any consent or anything from your daughters. You would be able to show them everywhere in any museum or galleries without anybody asking you for any consent form or ethical forms. You would not raise the single question of ethics at all. You would have done a portrait of your daughters. So why the fact that it's growing cells suddenly making such a difference toward your daughters? I mean, toward the institution, I understand, because it's using living material, and the institution needs to be legally, and it's not ethical, it's legal, legally covered when using human material. But in terms of deep ethics, what is the difference between exhibiting a portrait of your daughter made out of inert material and a portrait of your daughter is made with living material?
It's a kind of human's relationship to their own body matter, isn't it? And it's about the potential. It's about potential and the fact that it's living and the materiality itself. You know, you work with plaster, gel or silicone or whatever. The material has got so much potency. And it's about the DNA and what's contained within those tiny little fragments of life and the potential that they have. I think that's why people have a different relationship to something alive than something that's a resemblance.
At what point, at what level do we perceive the essence of life? So we're growing something alive and it is perceived as something living, and therefore it's part of someone, it's living, and it's still part of someone, even though it's not in their body anymore and physically part of their body, it's still part of that person. So the analogy with that in cell therapies in medicine is that you may be of a different religion and set of beliefs to the person whose cells are about to be provided to you to save your life. Would you like your life saved, or are you going to stand your religious grounds and your beliefs and say, I'd rather die than have the cells from that person in my body? And that really happens.
This is totally irrational, right?
Totally, as a human being, this is totally rational, yes.
Not irrational.
No, it sounds perfectly reasonable to me as a human being. You, if you're going to get this, you've got standards by which you're prepared to live your life, and accepting something that is not the way you live your life, that's pretty standard every day of your life, isn't it? I'm not having that. I don't do my life that way, so I'm not having that. So this is a classic example of the way humans are irrational and illogical, but that's how life goes forth. If it was logical and rational, we wouldn't be where we are now.
Technically, okay, scientifically, it doesn't make any difference if the cells come from a Catholic or a Jew or a Muslim or an unbeliever, right? It won't change
the therapy.
The therapy, it won't change who you are deeply. Then I agree that everybody has a right to live according to any kind of belief. But what I'm saying, irrationality or rationality of ethics, if it's considered an ethical issue, it doesn't make sense. Do you understand what I mean?
And in the discussion last night, I came across that ethics is it possibly it's a waste of time. It's not a waste of time, it's just not asking the right questions at the moment. So yes, we certainly do need ethics and ethics committees, but they need to be informed what the right questions are from the public. Not they need to inform the public what the ethical issues are. These are the issues that arise from this for you. Actually, it needs to go the other way. And that's what I would like to change. And the reason for doing this kind of work is to bring this to the public so they can see it. And we can start to listen to them to see if there are issues. It's very interesting that for the people that have been exposed to it, for the want of a better word, and offer in a discussion, would you like to have a new face? Would you like a younger version of your face back? And the split is amazing, because some would like, yes, can I have that? I want to go back to when I was 20. That would be fantastic, thank you. And others are absolutely horrified. Why on earth would I ever want to do that? That is just the worst idea. That, oh no, 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 the whole idea repulses me. And both reactions are absolutely brilliant. So not everybody wants to do that. We do accept, partly by the commercial industry, we do accept that we want the perfect body, we want the perfect body image. And that's the chase of being youthful and physically perfect and athletically perfect. We want to be the perfect animal. And that's a pressure from society. And if you can break free of that, then you're free, aren't you?
Could you explain how Visco fits into your overall creation and why you decided to do this living portrait of your daughters?
I've no idea. I mean, I've never had a, and you can probably see that work with kind of diverse stuff, and I think I'm really fortunate in I just kind of can work in what interests me at the time, and it isn't repeating what I've done. So I've moved through a lot of forms and medias, kind of known for video, and I wanted to touch things again. Like, I'm really, really like handling materials and playing with things, even though I might not make the final object. I make it in my studio to work out how to make it or what I need to do, what the order and process and methodologies will be. So it's about the physical contact with the material and the presence of that material as well. Why I went on this route, I'm really interested in biosciences and I'm an artist. It's kind of always been there right from like secondary school, this dual interest, and I'm kind of expressing it more now. As I get older, it's just like, well, this is what I'm interested in, this is what I'll do. I'm not going to fit into that, I'm not going to fit into this. But it's one project I'm making alongside another project as well, so they're both informing one another. But I, you know, some decisions you give away, like the exploding face casts and the glass deformities, they were seen as problems and errors by the glass caster. Of course they were, but that I found beauty in that. And I find beauty in the way that bubbles form and the way the two bioreactors are linked like a pair of lungs with like veins and coming into a single bottle and the triple heart bypass machine squeezing the tube so gently, dripping the water onto the faces in the tanks so they hit the mouths of the girls and bubbles make them look like they're breathing bubbles underwater. And then it's mirrored in the kind of LED panel showing the skin that's come off the first generation, linked by one tube lighting them as well. I really I've not really made anything in this exhibition. Physically, I've made all of it in my studio, not the final result. But what I've made is a connection between different people and processes. So it's really about the connections and networks that draws all of it together to weaving. It's like a tapestry, that's where it fits into my kind of chain of work, which has become like a fine tapestry of different elements being woven together to create something that I actually can't tell you what it's about or why I've made it. Because if I could, I'd be writing it down, not trying to, you know, trying to present something that I feel that what it is one thing. What it does to people coming in is all a mishmash of where they've come from in their lives, what their background is, how they see things. And how, and that's where I think art exists, in the space between what it is and what it does.
John, do you have any comment about the artworks as an artwork?
What it has provided is this means to present my work to the public. I would never do that primarily. I would present it to my peers. If you're tissue engineering, the first thing to do is to put that out where the public can see it. It will inform the science, and I have learnt a lot scientifically from enabling this to live independently in a gallery. Yes, I've learnt a lot. It won't change what I do, but I do feel more comfortable doing what I'm doing, that the public have the opportunity to learn about it, to know about it.
Everybody, including me, is talking about this work as a living portrait of your daughters. Mm. And the more I go, the more I think it's a little bit more complex than that. Would you define it as a portrait?
Well, the question is it a portrait? You know, the original, like 3 years ago, I think, I wrote down, and at the end of it, I will apply for the National Portrait Award with it, because it's a portrait with their own, how more of a likeness can you get apart from using their DNA, so you can actually really reconstruct the human being. If you've got their cells and you've got their physical likeness, you can reconstruct the human being. Now, what is a portrait? What is a portrait? It's a likeness of someone. How far back do you have to be to see individuality? So that really defines what a portrait is. It's like, how close are you looking?
Des pastilles, ear, à sucer pour l'oreille, candy.